This is Audible.
Hello, this is Jim Kelly of James Patrick Kelly's Story Pod on Audible. And it's my pleasure to introduce you to Lord of Light by Roger Zelazny. Although this book was first published way back in 1967, it is still as fresh as the day it won the Hugo Award for Best Novel. Zelazny was just 30 years old when he wrote Lord of Light and was at the height of his powers as a storyteller. Just 2 years before, his novelette, The Doors of His Face, The Lamps of His Mouth, won the Nebula. And just 1 year before, his first novel, This Immortal, won the Hugo. Zelazny was considered one of the leading lights of a movement called the New Wave, which was science fiction's answer to the cultural ferment of the 60s. Zelazny and other writers of the New Wave saw that traditional science fiction plots were hardening into formula, and believed that the only way forward for the genre was to experiment with new ways of storytelling. But the New Wave was never a formal literary movement, more a generational state of mind. The book you will soon be listening to is one of its crown jewels. It is in some ways a difficult book, since Zelazny was ever a risk-taker. His description is often lush and always vivid. Consider this passage from very near the end of the book. The day of the battle dawned pink as the fresh bitten thigh of a maiden. A small mist drifted in from the river. The bridge of gods glistened all the gold in the east, reached back, darkening, into retreating night, divided the heavens like a burning equator. I believe I first read this book as a freshman in college, with vague aspirations of becoming a writer myself someday. And it was passages like this which led me to ignore my English professors when they spoke with contempt of my favorite genre. Zelazny brought literary sophistication to science fiction while still maintaining a firm grip on its core values. In Lord of Light, he chooses to overlay the Hindu pantheon of gods on a traditional science fiction setting of a lost space colony. This is a quintessential New Wave move. You may be momentarily confused by the complexity of the myth here, but rest assured that you are in the hands of a master, and that all will come clear before long. In his unlikely but marvelously strange juxtapositions of science fiction and fantasy, philosophy, and exhilarating adventure, Roger Zelazny created an enduring classic. Now I give you one of my favorite novels of any kind, in genre or out, Lord of Light.
Audible Frontiers presents Lord of Light, the Hugo Award-winning novel written by Roger Zelazny and read by Victor Bavine.
Chapter 1. It is said that 53 years after his liberation, he returned from the Golden Cloud to take up once again the gauntlet of heaven, to oppose the order of life and the gods who ordained it so. His followers had prayed for his return, though their prayers were sin. Prayer should not trouble one who has gone on to nirvana, no matter what the circumstances of his going. The wearers of the saffron robe prayed, however, that he of the sword, Manjusri, should come again among them. The Bodhisattva is said to have heard,
"He whose desires have been throttled, who is independent of root, whose pasture is emptiness, signless and free. His path is as unknowable as that of birds across the heavens." Dhammabuddha, 93.
His followers called him Mahasamatman and said he was a god. He preferred to drop the Maha and the Atman, however, and called himself Sam. He never claimed to be a god, but then he never claimed not to be a god. Circumstances being what they were, neither admission could be of any benefit. Silence, though, could. Therefore, there was mystery about him. It was in the season of the rains. It was well into the time of the great wetness. It was in the days of the rains that their prayers went up. Not from the fingering of knotted prayer cords or the spinning of prayer wheels, but from the great pray machine in the monastery of Ratri, goddess of the night. The high-frequency prayers were directed upward through the atmosphere and out beyond it, passing into that golden cloud called the Bridge of the Gods, which circles the entire world, is seen as a bronze rainbow at night, and is the place where the red sun becomes orange at midday. Some of the monks doubted the orthodoxy of this prayer technique, but the machine had been built and was operated by Yama Dharma, fallen, of the celestial city. And it was told he had ages ago built the mighty thunder chariot of Lord Shiva, that engine that fled across the heavens belching gouts of fire in its wake. Despite his fall from favor, Yama was still deemed mightiest of the artificers, though it was not doubted that the gods of the city would have him to die the real death, were they to learn of the prey machine. For that matter, though, it was not doubted that they would have him to die the real death without the excuse of the prey machine also, were he to come into their custody. How he would settle this matter with the lords of karma was his own affair, though none doubted that when the time came he would find a way. He was half as old as the celestial city itself, and not more than 10 of the gods remembered the founding of that abode. He was known to be wiser even than the Lord Kubera in the ways of the universal fire. But these were his lesser attributes. He was best known for another thing, though few men spoke of it. Tall, but not overly so. Big, but not heavy. His movements slow and fluent. He wore red and spoke little. He tended the prey machine, and the giant metal lotus he had set atop the monastery roof turned and turned in its sockets. A light rain was falling upon the building, the lotus, and the jungle at the foot of the mountains. For 6 days he had offered many kilowatts of prayer, but the static kept him from being heard on high. Under his breath, he called upon the more notable of the current fertility deities, invoking them in terms of their most prominent attributes. A rumble of thunder answered his petition, and the small ape who assisted him chuckled. "Your prayers and your curses come to the same, Lord Yama," commented the ape. "That is to say nothing."
"It has taken you 17 incarnations to arrive at this truth," said Yama. "I can see then why you are still doing time as an ape."
"Not so," said the ape, whose name was Tak. "My fall, while less spectacular than your own, nevertheless involved elements of personal malice.